In today's podcast, I want to cover 5 key points. First, what differentiates mild traumatic brain injury from complicated mild traumatic brain injury is whether any abnormalities are found in brain imaging or in a neurological exam of the person injured. So there's a problem with this definition. What happens if no imaging was taken? Or what if the imaging that was taken was not sensitive enough to show damage that really is there? Second point, different types of imaging are not equally sensitive. I'll talk in detail about what kinds of imaging show what. Third point, in your law practice, you are not going to see a representative cross-section of cases of traumatic brain injury. You're going to see the more severe cases. So you will see very few people with a true mild traumatic brain injury. Fourth point, who will you see in your practice? You'll see, obviously, moderate to severe TBI, and you may also see some of those 15% of people who have a lasting effect from what was categorized as a mild TBI. What's going on with this group? Well, some of them, in fact, have a complicated mild TBI. You may also see some who have no abnormalities on any kind of imaging, but who have a lasting effect from a mild TBI. Fifth point, do not assume that just because someone was categorized as a mild TBI by a doctor that they necessarily fall in that category. Look for corroborating evidence, and we'll talk about what kind of evidence to look for. So to do a CT scan or an MRI scan, to not see anything after brain injury and say, oh, well, then there's nothing wrong with the brain, is simply a false statement that's not backed up by science. Now, what will show damage to white matter in the brain is a new technique called diffusion tensor imaging. I want to point out another limitation of all of these kinds of functional imaging. Simply one that you need to be aware of and make sure that if you're going to present evidence based on functional imaging, you can present strong evidence rather than a vulnerable case. The same pattern that you see after traumatic brain injury in a SPECT imaging scan, you might see that same pattern in someone who's bipolar or who has some other abnormality that may not be able to be attributed to the brain injury itself. And so if you have a plaintiff with a traumatic brain injury and you bring forward a case using SPECT as your imaging, you're vulnerable then to a defense attorney who may say, yes, but how do we know that that particular kind of abnormality was caused by the brain injury itself?